All right, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Let's open the Word of God, the pursuit of healthiness. The Apostle John, writing to the church, says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things." Everyone say, all things. "And be in health just as your soul prospers." So in this 4-week series, we are looking at 4 different areas of our life. But what a great place to start this morning, as we talked about last week, is that God's desire for your life and for my life is that we would prosper in all things and be healthy in every area of our life. We talked about how sometimes we can think that God's only interested in our spiritual life, but not in any other area of our life. But God cares so deeply about us. And He wants you and I to be healthy in our spirit, healthy in our finances, healthy in our physical body, healthy in our marriage and our relationships. When the blessing of God comes on your life and my life, it comes on every area of our life. And so I want to encourage us here today that He is a Father who loves us. We are His children. And I shared last week, just like I want my son to flourish and be successful and fruitful and healthy in every area of his life, I'm an earthly dad. How much more does our Father in heaven, our spiritual dad, want you and I to be healthy and flourish in every area of life? Isn't that good? Like, how good is the God we serve? And I think that's such a great place to start. But today we're going to be zooming in. We're going to be discussing the topic of spiritual health. Spiritual health. So last week we did financial. This week we're talking about spiritual health. And I'm going to actually need 3 people to help me as I launch this topic. And so I'm going to ask Kobe, can you come up? Let's give Kobe a big hand. I need someone who's like a really great person, nice soul. And that's going to be Keely. Can you come up? And I need a physical specimen. Who's like a good-looking rooster not serving? There's many, 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 but I'm going to pick Aiden Stewart. Why don't you come up? You're a good-looking rooster. Let's give these guys a big hand. Thank you. So, Kobe, you're going to go. Yeah, you'll go there, please. So you're our soul. Can you grab our soul? You're our spirit man. Hello. So can you go out front? And Aiden, you'll come all the way over here, body. Sorry to embarrass you. I might spread you guys out a little bit, sorry. You come in the middle, Mr. Spirit Man. And I want you to lie down, pretend you're dead. All right, no, not you. All right. So I wanted to launch a series. Sorry, I'm a bit of a control freak, everyone. All right, we're good. All right, right there. Oh, he worked out this morning. All right. So God is 3-in-1, okay? God is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is one God, but He is 3-in-1. Every human being, stop distracting us, you're dead. Every human being was made in the image of God. And just as God is 3-in-1, you and I are 3-in-1. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. And what I want to talk about today, and maybe you're here and you don't have a current relationship with God. That's totally okay. I'm so glad you're here today. A bit later in the service, I'm going to give everyone in this room an opportunity to begin a relationship with God. But what the Bible tells us is when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the New Testament uses this word that we are born again. Everyone say born again. And in that moment, the most powerful thing is you and I we're born again and our spirit comes alive to God. Thank you, Kobe. Our spirit comes alive to God. And so you and I have a body, a soul, and a spirit. To be a healthy person, holistically, I believe we need to be healthy in our physical body. We need to be healthy in our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And we need to be healthy in our spirit. It's holistic health. And the goal for your life and my life, shouldn't this be that I get jacked in the gym and I'm really physically healthy but neglect these areas of our life? Or that you and I have a really healthy soul. We're in touch with our feelings, aren't we, Keely? And we're just such a romantic, writing poems, but we neglect our spiritual life. God wants you and I to be healthy in what? All things, all areas. And so how I love to review my life, I thought I'd share a quick life hack, is that I'm by nature quite an action-orientated person. Everyone's naturally a bit more reflective or a bit more action-orientated. I'm Mr. Action Man. And so something I have learned through my 20s as I was maturing is that I learned that it actually nipped me in the bottom when I didn't reflect and feel how I was going. And so something I've tried to build into my life that I would highly encourage everyone to do is a practice or a habit of reflecting. And so something I try to do, I'm not perfect. As I said, I'm Mr. Action Man, but once a month in my calendar, I try to go out for a coffee by myself or a walk in nature with God. And I love just to reflect and do a check-in. And here's the question I ask myself. I go, it's like, I want you to imagine a gauge. And I go, how is my soul going in this season? And I reflect on the last month. I journal out some thoughts. I journal some wins and some losses, some discouragement, some every part. I write it out. And I'll give myself a score out of 10. Hey, I feel in this last month, I'm like a 7 out of 10. I'm doing pretty good. And I'll reflect, how's my physical health going? How am I sleeping? What fuel am I putting in my body? How am I going with exercise and energy? And I'll give myself a score out of 10. And I'll ask, how am I going in my spirit? How am I going? And it's this great thing that has really helped me, because what I do is I check the gauge. I check how I'm going. And I ask why. Why am I a 7 out of 10, a 8 out of 10, and a 3 out of 10? And I reflect. And I go, oh, maybe this last month I actually dropped the habit of prayer. No wonder I'm feeling like I'm so flat spiritually, or maybe my body's a 2 out of 10 and I just go, oh, it's because we have a newborn. I haven't slept at all, and that's okay. But what I do is I ask, what do I need to adjust? What do I need to start doing this next month? And for the focus of today, that's what I call input. What do I need to start doing, and what should I stop doing? Limiting outputs. And so they're all connected. And this is what I found in my life. It's very, very hard to have like a 9 out of 10, a 9 out of 10, and a 2 out of 10. They're actually all connected, because remember, these aren't separate areas of our life. We are three in one. And if we're going to be a healthy man of God, a healthy woman of God, we need to pursue, which is our title, pursue a healthy soul, a healthy body, and a healthy spirit. I love this. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:8, because obviously all three are important. But Paul said this, for physical training is of some value. Who knew going to the gym was in the Bible? There you go. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. See, something I've discovered in my life, and if I had to put my focus on one out of the three, I have discovered that my spiritual life is the most important. I've learned that as I'm spiritually healthy, if I'm like a 9 out of 10, an 8 out of 10 in this area, it bubbles up and it flows into my body and it flows into my soul. It bubbles up and flows into my marriage. It flows into my son. I've discovered that when I am spiritually healthy, I am the best version of me. And if you're like me, me goes with me everywhere. And so if I'm spiritually unhealthy and a bad version of me, I've discovered pretty much every area of my life will begin to disintegrate around me. It overflows. And I would encourage everyone here, as I just slow down for a moment, because life is full. Everything, it just feels like we're getting demanded, our time, our resource, our energy in 100 areas. And then you open Instagram and then there's the 101st. And then you talk to Warren about how he's F45ing at 5 a.m. every morning. And then there's the 102nd. But out of all the pursuits in life, can I put this thought in our hearts this morning? I can't think of anything more important than having a healthy spirit, of investing in our relationship with God and with our intimacy with Jesus. I'm quite a driven personality. I love focusing and setting goals. And you know, I have a vision board in my study. And at the center of my vision board, as I said, there's all these other things around the place. But at the center, and I did it on purpose, I wrote these words, a growing and intimate relationship with Jesus. Out of all the pursuits, I put it on my vision board. Like, this is the number one goal of my life. Paul said in Philippians 3, 8, verse 9, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Oh, that's powerful. And once again, we're not saying here, literally discard everything else. We're saying, hey, there's many things that are important, but the most important thing is, how is my spiritual life going? How is my relationship with God? And before I go even one moment further, I just want you to reflect right now. Have that, you know, you're not with a coffee by yourself or out in nature, but just ask yourself, reflect on the last 4 weeks of your life. How am I going in my spiritual health? What's the gauge doing? Are you feeling like, oh, I'm an 8 or 9 out of 10. I'm on fire. I feel close to God. I'm hearing his voice. Or maybe you're sitting here going, I'm going okay. I'm a 5. I'm a 6. It's, you know, I'm moving forward. Or some of us might be like, oh, actually, I feel the empty alarm going off like in the car. And that's okay. We all find ourselves in different seasons and different moments. But what's most important is, what will we do from today to take a step forward? And Kobe's going to help me right now. So I wanted an analogy that helps me when I think of my spirit. And are you going to be okay? You can drop that if you want. And what I've discovered is, when you and I, like, I want you to imagine your spirit's like a bucket. And as you can see here, we can be filled, or we can be empty. Paul said in Ephesians, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled. Everyone say filled. With the Spirit. And by definition, if we can be filled, we can also be empty. And so another way of looking at our gauge is, am I feeling spiritually full or spiritually empty? And what I've discovered is, you and I have inputs in life, and you and I can do things like pray. And every time we pray, we're filling our spiritual life. Every time we read the Bible, we're filling our spiritual life. Every time you and I come to church, and I'm talking to the right crowd here today, go to Connect Group, we're filling our life. But what's the first thing you notice? Unfortunately, it leaks. I wish you and I could pray once and then the whole next month I'd be filled, but I have discovered personally with my inputs, it's like faith leaks. And I can have the best quiet time in the world. I can encounter the living God, read his Bible, and it jumps out at me. And I don't know if it's just me, but then I can wake up the next day just as discouraged as I woke up the day before. I can be going really well, have a great quiet time, but then someone at work says something that just triggers me and it just sets me off and it leaks. Or you and I can be walking through life, and it's just how actually we are designed, is that as we give out, as we love our families, as we work hard at work, as we lead Connect Groups, as whatever we do, we find that faith leaks. And there's two things you and I have that we can do, is we can put inputs into our spirit. And so what that looks like, I'm going to share two today, but what I've discovered, the number one is our prayer life. Every time you and I pray, when you and I set the alarm, we get up before we go to work and we do as Jesus said, we shut the door behind us, we enter the secret place and we seek the Lord in prayer. What's happening is, we are filling our spirit. We are communing with the Lord. The Spirit of God is filling us. And we get up, we have our coffee. Every time you and I open the Word of God and we're reading the Bible and his voice is coming alive to us, we find it fills us spiritually. So you and I have this decision in life, is, how are my inputs going? I'm going to talk about them. But unfortunately, also what I've discovered is, not just inputs are great, but there are also things in our life that actually can drain us quicker spiritually. And the Bible talks about a few. The first one I wanted to talk about, thank you, is unrepented sin. Unrepented sin. Alrighty. And what I've discovered, when there is unrepented sin in my life, doesn't matter. I'm still having my quiet time. I'm still reading the Bible, but it just drains so quickly. And there's many things, but another one I've found the Bible talks about is unforgiveness. Everyone say unforgiveness. Oh, you're empty there, Kobe. You're out. You're all done. You need some repenting. And another hole comes, and unforgiveness. And you and I can have things in our life like unforgiveness, and it's just like it drains us spiritually. And so there's two things in our world. We can We can put inputs in, and I'm going to talk about the two biggest ones, but we need to be careful of what when the enemy tries to get in, because what does the enemy want more than anything? He wants holes in our bucket. He wants us being emptied of God so that we're feeling far from Him and separated Him. But what God wants more than anything else is intimacy with us. And He comes, and He says, as we live His way, we start to fill those things up, and we can be spiritually healthy. Amen? Did this help? Let's give these guys a big hand. Thank you, Mr. Physical Body, Mr. Soul, Mr. Spirit came alive. God bless you guys. And I'm sorry, Toby, I wet the stage. It could have been way worse. So let me ask you one last time. How is your spirit going? How's my spirit going? And in these last few moments together, I'm just going to share two inputs and two outputs that I've discovered personally. And then I'm going to just invite the band up to close today. I thought I'd give you a heads up. And what I felt the Lord want me to do today is if you're here and you are feeling spiritually empty, I just saw like a river here today. And what I see is as we're going to encounter God at the end of my message, you could have come in at a 2, you could have come in at a 1, but I'm telling you, we will all leave at a 10 because the Holy Spirit is here and He's going to touch your life. Amen? Amen. All right, input number one is prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Pastor Phil says this line, prayer is to our spirit what oxygen is to our lungs. How long can you live without holding your breath? Does anyone know? I don't know, so it'd be good to know. But I believe it's not very long, right? If you and I held our breath, if we're untrained, we might have 2 minutes, we might have 3 minutes. But our physical body literally needs, it's not just, it wants oxygen. It's not just oxygen would be good. Our physical body needs oxygen. In fact, without oxygen, every single cell, bone, muscle, organ, everything else doesn't work without oxygen. And we are created as humans. We are consistently breathing in, breathing out. And just like what that is to our body, prayer is that to our spirit. We need to pray to have a spiritual connection to God. And prayer is, as we breathe in, we pray, everything else in our spiritual life begins to work. But what I've discovered in my life, when that prayer input dries up, when I'm struggling to pray, when I haven't prayed for a long period of time, it's just like every single part else of my spiritual life begins to disintegrate. Prayer is what connects us to God. Prayer is what feeds our spirit. It is the lifeblood of a Christian life. And I just wrote down this thought. It is impossible to have a healthy spirit without a regular devotion to prayer. And I'm not saying it has to be 60 minutes. There's no timeline to it. But for you and I to have a healthy spirit, we need to have some kind of regular devotion to prayer. Whether that's 2 minutes, whether it's 5 minutes, whether it's 60 minutes, that's up to you and God. But we need that regular devotion. Just like with oxygen, it is regular. We can't breathe for one day and then not breathe the next. We need a regular devotion to prayer. And Jesus modeled a life of prayer to you and I. It says this in Luke 5 verse 16, I believe, or 15. The team have it. And it just simply says this. So the author tells us, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Isn't that interesting? Jesus often withdrew. It's like the writer observed a pattern in his life. It doesn't say Jesus withdrew this one time. It just said, hey, as an observer of his life, he would often withdraw to a lonely place. And what does that mean? It means he would withdraw to what he later tells us is what he calls the secret place. It's a place just between him and the Father. His disciples aren't there. The crowds aren't there. It's where he goes to get his bucket filled. And he would go there regularly. And he modeled that to you and I, that we need a regular place where we withdraw from the world. We withdraw from all our responsibilities. We withdraw from our phones. We withdraw from distractions. We withdraw from others. And we just get to this place of connection with the Lord. We need this in our life. And I want to encourage us that Jesus modeled it so you and I can live it as well. And you might ask, Dan, well, how do I pray? And this is the best thing is prayer is a journey of a lifetime. There's not an exact formula that works. I love to say it like this to new Christians. Prayer is simply connecting with God. It is communicating and listening. It's not just coming with our prayer list of here's my 10 things I need. I love this thought. We seek his face before we seek his hand. And just one way that we've talked about as a church is you can split it into thirds. So no matter if it's 12 minutes, whether it's 60 minutes, it doesn't matter. One third, just worshiping the Lord and waiting on him. Just communing with him. I love that time in prayer. Another third is speaking in tongues. There's nothing fills our spiritual tank faster than speaking in tongues, connecting to the Holy Spirit. And then the last third is then praying for our responsibilities. That's when we do bring the list to God and declare the word and promises of God. This is my advice to everyone. Start small. Start simple, but focus on consistency. We're better praying 10 minutes every day than 60 minutes every second day. So let's start small. What can you start tomorrow that you could do 6 out of 7 days next week? And don't feel guilty when you miss a day. We all miss a day. But what I say is, and I love James Clear says this, if you miss one day, just don't make it two. Just don't make it two. So what is the next step for you in your prayer life? What could you do tomorrow morning to connect with God, to go into the secret place that you could then build on from there? The second input I want to quickly talk about is his word, the Bible, the beautiful word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Just as food sustains the body, God's word sustains our spirit. His word is powerful. His word is alive. It does not return void. It does what it set out to do. His word builds our faith. And do you know, as I entered this year, every time I enter a new year, I try to ask God, just, is there anything you want me to work on in this next year? And I was seeking God about 2025. And do you know what I heard God say to me? I heard him say, I want you to work on your word life. And what I felt is, hey, I had a strong prayer life in that season and I'd focused on that last year and my prayer life was strong. But what I felt the Lord invite me into is, hey, but your word life could go to a new level. And if I'm honest with you, I ended last year feeling quite weak in my faith. I felt like there was just something missing, like my faith hadn't been as strong as I needed it to be or had hoped it would be. And then God came and said, Dan, just as an encouragement, work on this part of your spiritual life. And so I didn't drop the prayer. My prayer kept going, but I went to work on my word life. And can I tell you, it has transformed me this year. My faith has gone from strength to strength, and I feel spiritually healthier than I did last year. And the only difference in my life was I just increased that input of the word of God. Faith is fuel for our spirit. And Romans 10 says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. There's only one way to build faith in our spirit, and that is through the word of the living God. And so once again, I just love to sort of reflect. How am I going with my word life? And what could you and I step out and begin to grow in our Bible reading? How do we do that? Once again, a habit of reading the Bible. Start small. I say to new Christians, download the Holy Bible app and just read the verse of the day and try to do that every day. That's a great starting place. And then you build on it. Then you might go, I read a chapter a day or a devotional, or you might read the Bible in a year. Whatever it is, just get that habit going strong in our world. Journal down what the Lord is speaking to you and declare the word of God over our life. The health of our spirit will be directly linked to the quality of our prayer and our word life. And this is an encouragement, because we all start somewhere. We all have those seasons where we're like, oh, I kind of feel like I've dropped it a little bit in that area. This isn't God coming ever to put guilt or shame. It's an encouragement from the Holy Spirit, because what Jesus desires more than anything in your life and my life is intimacy with us. It's relationship. And my encouragement out of today is, what step can you and I take beginning tomorrow that would strengthen our prayer and our word life. And just quickly, I want to talk about those two outputs. What can drain our spiritual health? There's many in the Bible. I just chose two that I've personally related to. But one is unrepented sin. I remember when I first came to God, I really struggled to connect with Him. And it's like every time I'd go to pray, I'd just be reminded of all the things I'd done wrong. I felt so guilty and I just was wrestling. I struggled so much to connect with God. And it's until I learned the power of repentance, of repenting, of dealing with my sin with God, I found that that just plugged that hole and it made me encounter God in the most beautiful and precious way in my life. In Acts 3 verse 19, it says, "Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come in the presence of God." Sometimes we think, and I've been there, that repentance is like a dirty word. It's like, I feel awkward and it's yucky. But do you know, repentance is actually the greatest blessing from God, because without repentance, we can't be forgiven. And without forgiveness, we can't experience times of refreshing. And so I have found in my life, if I'm struggling to encounter God and I'm struggling to hear His voice, and this has happened to me many times on my journey, I'll just slow down. And I'll ask the Lord, "Lord, is there anything in my life that currently offends you?" David prayed that prayer. He said, "Lord, point out anything in me that offends you." And I've come to that place of, "Lord, wow, I didn't realize I'd been so prideful. I didn't realize that I had judged others. I didn't realize that the movies I was watching was unpleasing to you," or whatever it is. And then just come into that place of repentance. "Lord, I repent of that sin." Repentance literally means to turn 180 degrees. And I have found that to get rid of unrepented sin in your life and my life helps us to connect with God. And lastly, as I invite the band up, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Hebrews 12:15 says this. The author said, "See to it that no one is bitter and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." See, when you and I hold on to unforgiveness in our heart, which we all go through in life, we all go through as believers. No one's immune to pain, to betrayal, to abuse. No one's immune. And it's not a matter of when I'm going to have, if I'll have to ever forgive someone, it's actually a matter of when. And unforgiveness will block our spiritual health, I have discovered. It will cause our spiritual life to leak so fast. And Jesus said in Mark 11, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Oh, that's such a powerful verse. He actually goes on in another verse and he said, if you're at the temple, which is church, and you're giving an offering, it's the only time he tells us to stop praying. In the whole Bible, he says, if you're praying, if you're in church, but you have unforgiveness, Jesus says, leave your offering there, run out of the house of God and go and deal with your unforgiveness. Then come back. There is nothing else where Jesus tells us to stop praying. Why? Because he knows even if we pray all we can and we're in church every Sunday, but there's unforgiveness in our heart, it will cause a block between us and God and we'll struggle to connect with him. And so he says out of his grace and love, hey, while you're praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. Forgive them. And maybe tonight, today, that could be something, and I feel God's presence so strong on this, that maybe there are people in our life we need to forgive. And maybe there's people here who've even been going, I've been struggling to connect with God, and it's actually been really frustrating me. I don't know why it seems like everyone else is encountering God, but I don't. And maybe, I'm not saying it definitely is, but maybe God will speak to you today and say, hey, forgive this person. And in that forgiveness, you will find one of the most powerful spiritual things can happen as we let that go, give it to God. It's said that unforgiveness is like drinking poison, hoping it would kill the other person. Because unforgiveness, it doesn't hurt them, it hurts us. Forgiving someone doesn't mean what they did was right. It's not excusing them. It's not, we don't even need to hear them say sorry. We just forgive because Jesus asked us to. And it's actually, I'm giving them to you, God. He deals with them. That's his problem, not ours. But you and I let them go. And if you're struggling to forgive, what's helped me in the past is just remembering that he forgave me. I know this sounds so harsh, but what God spoke to me about once is, isn't it a bit hypocritical of me if I expect God to forgive me all of my sin? And guess who knows the depths of my sin more than anyone else? It's me. I know how many times I've let him down, yet he shows me grace. And he said to me, Dan, isn't it hypocritical that you expect to receive that from me, but then you don't give it to others? Can we all stand in this place here today? I hope that out of the four things I've shared on, at least one spoke to you. Hopefully one is standing out. And I'm actually asking that even right now, the Holy Spirit would just pick one for you. And I just want you to reflect here today. Is it your prayer life? Do you need to wake up tomorrow and do some planning today and say, I just got to make this a priority again? I'm going to set the alarm earlier. I'm going to put my phone in another room. I'm just going to make this happen. I'm going to begin to pray. Or secondly, maybe it's to go deeper in the Word. Just like me in December last year, you're feeling the Holy Spirit prompt you, come closer in the Word. Go deeper in the Word. Maybe for others, there is unrepented sin. See, we all go through sin. We all sin, the Bible says. But to make that conscious decision, I repent. And lastly, maybe it's forgiveness. Maybe you're going, wow, I didn't realize until this moment, as the Holy Spirit's bringing to remembrance someone, and we need to just forgive, let go, and trust them to God. What we're going to do right now is the band are going to lead us in worship. And what I'm going to simply ask, I believe there'll be many people, so be bold. We don't have much time, so just come. But if you're saying, Dan, I'm feeling quite spiritually empty, I'm not where I want to be, and you want a fresh and filling of God, as we're singing this worship song, I just want you to come down to the altar. I'm going to pray over everyone on the altar really quickly. But it's not anything to do with me. You're saying, God, I'm hungry for you. God, today, would you fill me afresh? This is a moment between you and him. But if you don't come down the front, I want us all to worship. Let's all spend some time in the presence of God. So would you reach your hands out to God? I thank you right now that you are here. And Lord, I just declare today, let the river flow in the house of God. Let everyone who feels empty and dried up be filled. Lord, I pray, renew our hunger, renew our thirst for the presence of God. And so here as we worship, we fix our eyes on you in the name of Jesus. So if you want a fresh and filling, just come to the front now and let's all worship together. Thank you so much, team. Lord, over every heart in this room, I ask and we ask, Holy Spirit, give us a fresh hunger, a fresh thirst to seek the Lord. Lord, I prophesy over every single person in this room. We will be men and women of God who are spiritually healthy. Lord, I declare that we as a people, Lord, would have such a strong prayer life. Lord, I pray that as we enter the secret place this week, that each person in our church would have a life-changing encounter with you, Lord. As we open the Word of God, I ask you would speak to every heart. And we pray, Lord, right now that this isn't words in our head. It is revelation in our heart. In the name of Jesus, help us to fall more in love with you. Let the things of this world not satisfy. And Lord, I declare, Lord, let us not be satisfied with anything else but you. Let, Lord, anything else fall short as we discard it as garbage compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord, and becoming one with you. Bless our people, I pray. Amen. Amen.